We'll recite a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam and then go to the seminar.
Ayushriyam yasho dharma lokana shishaye vacha hanti shreyamsi sarvani pumso mahadatikramah.
This is reading from 10.4.46.
Ayushriyam yasho dharma lokana shishaye vacha hanti shreyamsi sarvani pumso mahadatikramah.
Three devotees can say.
Ayushriyam yasho dharma lokana shishaye vacha
hanti shreyamsi sarvani
hanti shreyamsi sarvani
pumso mahat atikramah
pumso mahat atikramah. Ayushriyam yasho dharma lokana shishaye vacha hanti shreyamsi sarvani pumso mahadatikramah. Ayuh shriyam yasho dharma lokana shishaye vacha
hanti shreyamsi sarvani
hanti shreyamsi sarvani
pumso mahadatikramah
pumso mahadatikramah. Ayuh,
the duration of life. Shriyam, beauty. Yashah, fame. Dharmam, religion. Lokan, elevation to higher planets. Ashishaha, blessings. Eva, indeed. Cha, also. Hanti, destroys. Shreyamsi, benedictions. Sarvani, all. Pumsaha, of a person. Mahat atikramaha, trespassing against great personalities. Translation. My dear king, when a man persecutes great souls, all his benedictions of longevity, beauty, fame, religion, blessings and promotion to higher planets will be destroyed. So, today we will go to the third part of removing unwanted habits seminar. This is not only exactly nishtha to prema, we can even say before nishtha also, because the aparadhas are there before nishtha also, but they are not so visible to us because we have not yet become fine-tuned to see our aparadhas. Rather, we see which one more? Sins more. Sins are more visible. At that time, we also tend to think sins are more serious than offenses. Like that we tend to think. But after crossing nishtha stage, all the sins have retired, they go far away. Then the aparadhas become very prominent. So therefore we say nishtha to prema, but otherwise actually the aparadhas are there much more, even in stages prior to nishtha also. So I'm just doing a quick revision of part 1 and 2 and then we go to 3 today. This I told you already. So these are the anartha nivritti process. The four anarthas mentioned by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the five obstacles which are posed because of these four anarthas, laya, vikshepa, pratipatti, kashaya and rasaswada. And then they affect our chanting, leading to laziness, jadya, vikshepa, distracted mind, audasini, indifference, And then when one is chanting inattentively, then some 10 to 15 different type of weeds, which are all based on bhakti, mukti, siddhi, they grow. Then the weeds become watered in chanting. See, in order to remember this, these four different steps which are mentioned here, the first one talks about the, you can remember the anartha cloud. The anartha cloud, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, maya mugdhasya jivasya gneyo anarthas chaturvidaha. Krit daurbalyam cha aparadho asatrishna tattva vibramaha. So, like a cloud will not allow us to see the sun. Or sometimes you see a silvery cloud, but you can't see the sun. Similarly, the anartha is compared to a cloud in our mind. And because of that clouded anarthas in our mind, not able to get access to Krishna, not unable to find Krishna, then we find pleasures in this world, the material world. So again we get take a U-turn. So because of which all these unfortunate five things come. Laya, Vikshepa, Pratipati, Kashaya, Rasa, Swada. So these are arising due to Rajaguna and Tamaguna. So Tamaguna puts us to sleep and Rajaguna puts us to distraction and disinterest and all those things. So then we continue to be in Rajaguna, Tamaguna like this. And then the effect of these five is the effect in the chanting. So these obstacles, black box obstacles, so they all come in the chanting in the form of Jadya, Vikshepa, Audasinya. That exactly happens during chanting. The third one is during chanting. And the fourth one is after chanting. After chanting, we have already committed aparadhas in chanting. Instead of watering the devotional creeper, we have watered the weeds. And the effect of watering the weeds is the last box. That means if you take the third box, Jadya, Vikshepa, Audasinya, the box before that is before chanting. And the fourth box is after chanting. Easy to remember. Before chanting, you know, we the Laya, Vikshepa, Pradipta, Kashaya, Rasaswada are the anarthas which take effect during chanting in the form of Jadya, Vikshepa and Audasinya. And the result of that is water, weeds getting watered. So then we also discussed about how to make our chanting attentive. So chant daily and chant for prolonged periods. Chant the company of advanced devotees who have spontaneous attraction. And study the behavior of advanced offenseless chanters. He says emulate their mood. And how to overcome inattentiveness. Ask them. The example of advanced devotees and their guidance will help us. So these are all things we can do. And beg for the mercy of the holy name from Krishna. Pray to Tulsi Maharani also. And we can have well-wishers to whom we can listen and they may give specific inputs to us. How to get rid of unwanted habits. And we can take inputs from them. And those who are open to learning. Actually we can learn from juniors, we can learn from seniors, we can learn from equals. We can learn from those who are very successful. And we can even learn from those who are unsuccessful because they can tell us what are the difficulties they have faced and what methods they have adopted. So one has to just be like a child in a curious and learning mood. Then we have so much to learn. Then we can cut down the unwanted creepers. We can take steps. Actually, cutting down unwanted creepers means you will see when those effects were mentioned by Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. In case somebody is finding that one has watered the weed, it is growing now. Then some well-wisher tells him that you are going in the wrong way, Prabhu. This has to be cut. Then immediately one should take steps to cut it. And then it will not grow further because you have taken corrective steps. If we don't take corrective steps and we don't listen, and we consider those who are giving us feedback to be our enemies or envious of us or something, then the weed will keep growing. Correct, no? Therefore, we need somebody to correct, rectify us. Therefore, a devotee should feel, I am a patient and my malady or disease has to be diagnosed by some another Vaishnava who can help me, you know, who is my well-wisher. That kind of relationship is necessary so that we can give up all whimsical behaviors. And then rising early in the morning, attending morning program, maintaining strict Vaishnava conduct, all these things will help. Avoiding mundane movies, mundane food and all that. So many tips are available. And then here the boiling the milk program that Prabhupada has given us. So this was all in the first one. And Revisiona part 2, in part 2, with increasing spiritual strength, sadhana quickly moves from one stage to another. That means if you rectify that anartha chart which I showed you, then our sadhana gets better. One will get reciprocation from the Lord. And while doing that, one should be careful not to get diverted by pious activities like, you know, so many other welfare activities you were saying. So pious activities and sinful activities take away our time, which is actually meant for spiritual activities, number one. Number two, not only they take away the time, they bring forth punya and pap, which is mundane, for which we are born again, and we are reaping the fruits. So therefore, one should not become diverted by this, because they both are binding. Anything that keeps us away from Krishna, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, is sinful, he says. So one should. So then Prabhupada remarked that it's not our business to try to gain popularity by posing as a welfare institution that feeds poor. He wanted our movement to be known as a spiritual movement which feeds prasadam even to the millionaires and billionaires also. Actually, Bhakti Devi is very lenient. She shows lenient mercy, very kind. But so we told that seva paradas are forgiven, but not Jan Bujkar repeatedly. If one example we gave, if you remember, the pujari, you know, his cloth is unclean. Once he wore such a chadar, second time, third time he does and reads one Bhagavad Gita chapter, then Bhakti Devi will understand, oh, this fellow has become now diplomatic. Then she will not forgive. She will show a stern hand. Stern hand means what? She will not give the taste when we chant. Then we will become very frustrated. Therefore, one should not deliberately do. Like sometimes a person indulged in some wrongdoing. You ask him, how much period you indulged? For example, there are people who have by mistake gone to some site. They've seen immediately, within a moment they have come out, recognizing that it is sinful. But there are people who say that, oh Prabhu, I committed a mistake. How long you committed a mistake? So 1 hour. That means one is not very sincere. That means one has made up one's mind to go headlong in the direction of sin. Correct, no? So therefore you will find then it goes to seventh offense. Seventh offense means, and then not only that, if somebody has committed a mistake, he never admitted. That is even greater offense. And even after he is caught, you try to prove to him, still he is trying to find an escape way out. That is even more greater. You understand what I am saying? It's like a thief. For example, thief stole a goods. So the police are after him. But then the police come to know that he has already gone to the station. And he has submitted the goods and he has surrendered. That type of thieves are very rare. Samahatma Sudalava, correct? No? Extremely rare. But then there are thieves who are running away from police. And the thief understands, oh, now better for me to surrender. A lot of policemen are behind me. Then he stops and says, sorry, sir, I stole. You put me in the jail, don't beat me. You know. So that is second type of thief. Third thief means he runs to the best extent possible and he goes in a scooter, he takes this, that, different things, he enters into your lane and the lane is dead end. He can't go out anywhere. Then when police catch him, then he says, I surrender now. Is it surrender? That's not counted as surrender. So in this way, many times we commit sins which can go to which offense? Seventh offense. Namno baladya sahi papa buddhihi. And then he says, second line says that Amarhi Shuddhihi. That cannot be purified very easily. Seventh offense is very terrible. Because the holy name becomes very offended by us. Holy name thinks, hey, I trusted this fellow. He has abused me. Then the holy name Bhakti Devi becomes very stern. Then one really suffers terribly. It's like a person with fever who has a bitter tongue and high fever, he can't taste any food and he suffers. So it takes long time to come out of it. So Jan Bhujkar Papakarna knowingly committing sins are very considered, very, very deliberate, very dangerous it is. Even we people also, in this world you trusted somebody and gave something and they betrayed your trust. It's immediately what happens? the relationship is broken, or it becomes very distanced. Like two friends they meet, and A gives some 5 lakh rupees to B and doesn't take even promissory note also, because they are thick friends from school days. But then the B says that within 3 months I will give. Now, you know, 10 years are passed, he is not giving. So naturally he has betrayed the trust, you know, because he didn't take any promissory note, he didn't take any agreement or something. In the same manner, you know, the Guru hands us over to Krishna and gives us the gift of the holy name. But if we are cheating knowingly, drishyashutabhyam yat papam jananapi atmano ahitam, it is said. Jananapi means jan bhujkar, knowing that it is not good for the soul. So therefore then it becomes seventh offense. Okay, the most difficult unwanted habit to eradicate is, astonishingly, even after the love destroys all unwanted habits from offenses, devotees are still not free from the danger of those anarthas that tend to recur. And they attain absolute freedom from anarthas and ultimate shelter, vastu siddhi, only when they return to spiritual world. That means effect of offenses sometimes keep haunting. They keep coming, even after one goes to bhava or prema also. Like one example is the four kumaras. When they saw Vishnu and smelled the tulasi, that time the love of God was awakened. But it is mentioned that they could only attain Shantarati, it is said. Why? Why not Dasyarati or Sakhyarati? The reason Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives, because their mind became bitten by the serpent of false ego, he says. And their mind became afflicted by anger. On whom? Jaya Vijay. Because they were stopped, so they became angry and cursed them. Because of that, that anger, latent anger or dormant anger remained, due to which they could not elevate their bliss beyond Shantirati. Like that Chakravarti Thakur says. That means to the degree we are free from offensive mentality, one can even go to higher Dasaras, Sakiras, Vatsalya, Madhurya. One can. That means our ascending higher depends on our freedom from offensive mentality. See how it's related. Therefore, you will see, when Parvati Mata cursed Chitraketu, Chitraketu did not counter curse. And at the same time, he came down and he admitted to Parvati Mata and said, I am ready to be punished to become an asura. I am ready, he said. And also he told, but I know that your mind and heart is pained by my statements. Therefore, I am coming and giving you clarification. I don't want to justify that I am right. But I want to give you clarification. I am friendly with Shiva and I have no evil attitude towards him. I didn't find fault in him. I was thinking that the people in the world will imitate him and become degraded. That was my intention. Please do not get me wrong. He clarified her. After hearing that, Parvati became relieved. And then when he flew up, you know, Shiva looked at Parvati and said, "Hey Parvati, Rame, you may be very beautiful, but Vaishnavas are more beautiful than you." Shiva said, "Just see how he behaved. Narayana parasarvena kutaschana bibhyati swargapavarganarakeshu apitulyartha darshanaha." You put them in hell, put them in heaven, take them back to Godhead. Wherever you put them, they simply want to serve. They have no other expectation. So when Shiva said this, Parvati immediately covered her head with a veil and she didn't want to see Shiva. She turned her face to other side, like the Prabhupada says in the purport. So she felt ashamed of having committed a mistake. So this is wonderful, is it not? Because Chitraketu did not take offense by Parvati Mata's cursing. And Prabhupada says even he had the ability to counter curse also. He was very powerful because he had seen Sankarshan. He was the king of Vidyadhara planet. He was a very mighty personality at that time, very powerful. So he didn't take any offense. So therefore, he didn't aggravate his problem. So therefore, Kumaras already were impersonless and they are supposed to become personless, but the problem became aggravated, added to their impersonal tendencies. Now, even though they saw Lord Vishnu, they became angry on the Kumara, Jai Vijay, due to which they could not ascend beyond Shantirati, like that he says. So, but somebody may say, "Oh, really? If this is a situation, offense is so serious, that means even after going back to Godhead, one may become offensive, somebody may say. But answer is no. It is impossible for Lord's associates to be offenders. Why? Whether Parikshit putting dead snake around the neck of Samikrishi or Jai Vijay coming to the material world, all are will of the Lord. What are they? Will of the Lord. Devotees, once you become a perfect living being, go back to Godhead. He says that then the effect of offenses cannot chase after you. After that, you have seen Bhagavad Darshanam. After the Bhagavad Darshan, one's offenses are completely nullified. And also, now then later on we discussed about honest aparadhas. Oh, really? You can have honest aparadha. Honest mistakes and offensive mistakes. I mean, offensive mentality. What is the difference between the two? Like Bhrigu's test. Bhrigu went and kicked Lord Vishnu in the chest, but that was only to test whether Vishnu is Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then after that he glorified Vishnu all over the world also. But that kind of innocent mistakes are not taken very seriously. While the Gopal Chapal or Gopal Chakravarti, these people did terrible offenses to pure devotees like Srivas or like Haridas Thakur. Gopal Chapal did for Srivas and Gopal Chakravarti did for Haridas Thakur. So it was done with a very vicious, cunning, diplomatic mentality to assassinate the character of great souls. That was the intention. Like, see, sometimes your mother, father also sometimes may criticize ISKCON or devotees, but they don't have any offensive mentality. Their criticism is more to protect you or defend you. Like, sometimes boys fear, Praji, I'm worried my parents are offending. What are they offending? They, first of all, they don't know much also to offend. So they don't have any vicious mentality or, I mean, evil mentality. So most often they are more in a defensive mode. Therefore, that also comes in honest mistakes. Whereas somebody is very plotting, hatching plots to talk ill of a Vaishnava, gossiping, rumor-mongering, especially with the desire that one's heart is burning that this person is very famous, popular, I want to pull his leg. Then it becomes a very solid offense. Now we are going to part 3 today. Yes, Masnapu.
Is holy name powerful enough to purify the greatest offenders? Scripture repeatedly praises the power of devotional service to at once eradicate all kinds of sins, including
all offenses. All kinds of sins, including offenses. Correct.
Why then do the wise say that the effects of offenses are difficult to nullify?
Somebody may have this question now. You see, the holy name is very powerful. Bhakti yoga is very powerful. What all pastimes you have heard? Somebody ate Mahaprasad and got 400 form and flew to Vaikuntha. You know, some rat and cat ran around the sanctum sanctorum of the temple 3 times and they got liberated. So many things you have heard. The bhakti path is so powerful. Can't it eradicate both my sins and offenses? Why offenses seem to be so deep and all? Yeah, answer is?
The answer lies in how the holy name responds to those who commit offenses to devotional service and to the Vaishnavas. Without doubt, the holy name and pure devotion have inestimable power to purify the greatest offenders. Many scriptural statements confirm this truth.
Nahi Bhagavan Agatinam Tvaddarshanan Nrinam Akila Papakshayah Yannama Sakrit Shravanat Pukkashopi Vimuchyate Samsarat.
Yeah. My Lord, it is not impossible for one to be immediately freed from all material contamination by seeing you. Not to speak of seeing you personally, merely by hearing the holy name of your Lordship only once, even Chandalas, men of the lowest class, are freed from all material contamination. Under the circumstances, who will not be freed from material contamination simply by seeing you?
Yan nama sakrit shravanat. Sakrit means only once. Pukkashopi muchyate samsara. Even a chandala is freed from samsara. So his whole name is so powerful, definitely. Then why can't it purify the greatest offenders? Read it.
Is holy name powerful?
No, same question I put here.
Okay. The mystery is that although the holy name has the power to immediately neutralize the reactions to all offenses, he sometimes chooses not to.
That is the point. It is not that he is not powerful. Holy name is powerful, but the holy name will not purify. Deliberately. Like for example, somebody has given you some punishment. Say for example, you did a mistake for which you are told that, you know, you will be reinstated in the service only after 6 months. 6 months you have to do, say you have to wash the pots or you have to, you know, clean the floor, sweep the floor. The person who is giving you punishment is a person who actually is capable of releasing you from the punishment also. Correct, no? Because he only has given you. He can say, okay, Prabhuji, 6 months is not required. You only do for 2 months. Or he may say, only 1 day you do it, that's all. He can reduce the period, he can eliminate the period. Such a person only can give punishment, isn't it? But he will not relieve you for what? For what purpose? Why he will not relieve you? The purpose is one has to reform. The purpose of the 6 months period is given is for reformation. If he doesn't reform and if the superior person releases him, then the release has no meaning because the person continues to maintain his wrong mentality. Therefore, the holy name does not forgive. It's clear, no? A person has committed a blunder and the holy name has decided not to forgive him or allow him to struggle for a while, and that struggle period is given for the offender to think, why am I struggling? What did I do wrong? You know, do some kind of reflection, analyze one's heart, then go and meet other Vaishnavas, and not getting taste in the holy name, one cries, then prays to the deity form of the Lord, you know, and then goes to Guru, goes to other Vaishnavas, and then in this way, he is very desperate to again get the taste what he was getting once upon a time. And the holy name is waiting. Correct. Go ahead, do it. No, you have to take that anxiety. And also inner conscience, the super soul also will give him feelings of guilt. What we call as conscience is nothing but super soul. Super soul also gives a guilty feeling to us. Oh, you did a mistake. And one side of the mind will say sorry. Another mind, ego will say, don't say sorry. They will think you are weak or something. So in this way, there are a lot of tussles going on, and that storm is necessary. It's a part of the growth. It's a part of the process. Therefore, the holy name chooses not to relieve the offender. Go ahead.
Unhappy with offenders, Naam Prabhu does not empower them to chant without offense, despite his being the most merciful and complete form of the Lord. Equipped only with the semblance of the name, devotees cannot remove lingering unwanted habits.
Semblance of the name means Namabhas. At the most they can chant in Namabhas. They can't actually chant the Shuddha Naam. So therefore the lingering habits don't go away. The habits revisit them again and again. The another list which we showed.
Can no other process help devotees free themselves from offenses to the holy name?
Yeah, somebody may ask like this. Isn't it? Prabhuji, these 10 offenses, you know, they are too much. You know, clearing all these offenses, you know, every one of them is big. And I keep repeatedly committing. So is there any other alternative? Somebody may ask. That asking that question itself is offensive. Like that he says, read it. Yeah.
The wise suggests the devotees discard this question because the proposal itself is offensive. By inference, it places the purifying potency of mundane acts such as fruitive work, mental speculation, and mystic yoga on an equal footing with that of the transcendental chanting of the holy names. This is the 8th offense in chanting the holy name. Dharma vrata tyaga hutadi sarva shubha kriya samyam api pramadaha.
Samyam, considering them equal. Yeah. That is pramada, that is madness. Yeah. That is equating the dharma, vrata, tyaga, huta, that means yajna, and sarva shubha kriya, all these things, samyam. Considering it to be equal to the chanting of the holy name, that is pramada, that's madness actually.
Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur adds that one cannot become free from even the slightest offense simply by following the rules of yoga, even for thousands of years.
Even the slightest of the offense, not even bigger offenses. He says one cannot become free even from status of, there is no other way other than one giving up the offensive mentality. So therefore one should not foolishly try for other processes, which people try many times. Actually there are many examples of devotees who have come into the devotional communities and they have lived with devotees, and they will say that in this world I have no problem with anyone and anything except the devotees. They have problem only with the devotees. They have problem with juniors, with equals, with seniors, with authorities, with guru, with all over the, any type of thing related to Vaishnava. And over a period of time they can become very vindictive and very revengeful and quarrelsome and belligerent, as we call it, and that is very, very dangerous. One very important thing about prema, a love of God, is actually even if one is having tussles, the nature of prema is such that it's not very smooth. It's like a snake. Similarly, the gopis several times chastise Krishna. They're angry with Krishna. They criticize Krishna. They glorify Krishna. They do all that. But they will never leave Krishna. You will see that. You will see that, you know, they had a decade of association and a century of separation. Just 10 years Krishna was with them. 11th year he left. And 1 century years he was away. But that didn't make the gopis forget Krishna. Day in and day out they remembered. Similarly, while living with Vaishnavas, you may have tussles, differences in opinion, misunderstandings. I said this, you said that. But we have to see Phalena Parichati. What is the end result? Is a person continuing to stay in the association of devotees? Is he continuing to take shelter of the Shravanam process, Shravanam and Kirtanam? Is he continuing to perform all the rules and regulations given by the Guru Parampara? That has to be seen. If a person is doing that, that means he is under the shower. He is getting cleansed, isn't it? But somebody had some tussle with somebody and then they immediately they pull out of the association of devotees and they go to a faraway place. They don't stay with devotees. They think, I will take care of my life on my own. That is very dangerous. Like that example of in Honolulu, I think, when Prabhupada went to the temple, Toronto or Honolulu, one of the two places, Prabhupada saw one brahmachari came to meet Prabhupada. Prabhupada asked him, and devotees, Prabhupada, he is the one, he is the one. And he has left the temple and is living in the railway station. So Prabhupada asked him, where do you live? He said, I live in railway station. Prabhupada said, how is life there? He said, miserable, Prabhupada. Because night I am sleeping, midnight police people come and beat me up and ask me to quit the station. And I have no place to go, because when you come out of the station, it's very risky to hang around outside. So then he said, life is pretty difficult there. Prabhupada said, then why didn't you come and live in the temple? That I don't want, he said. I have quarreled with devotees. I cannot adjust with devotees. And Prabhupada said, just see, that the temple, your life is like a master's dog. Whereas your life in the station is like a street dog. You're going and living outside, taking so much difficulty. And Prabhupada said, spiritual life is difficult, but material life is impossible. Life in the temple may be a little difficult, but life in the station is practically impossible. Why do you torture yourself like this foolishly? Just put aside your false ego and come and stay with devotees. So everybody has this problem of false ego in this world, due to which we aggravate our life, our situations more. So therefore, one should know that we should not, every one of us, we should know that this movement is whose movement? It's Prabhupada's movement. Prabhupada started it. Prabhupada is there and the deities are there, and your relationship is with Hari Guru Vaishnavas. If with somebody you have a little problem, you go on with devotional service. Because those people are not going to remain forever also. They will come, they will stay and they will push off. But if you have some tussle with somebody, because there is one Mataji who wrote a letter to Prabhupada, Prabhupada disciple. And Prabhupada actually kind of scolded her in the mail back. Prabhupada told her that, you know, you are planning to leave the company of the other lady devotees and you are going to stay on your own in your house and do your own practice. Prabhupada said, trying to stay away from devotees and making progress is like hallucination or insanity. That's what Prabhupada wrote. He said, just for the small tussle you are going away, you are losing a golden opportunity to advance in spiritual life. Actually, spiritual life goes beyond death also. Correct, no? What is this body? It is just a mortal coil. You will cast it away. Next life, you will not even know with whom you had fight. Even that also you will not know. Therefore, our tussle with other Vaishnavas is very petty. It's very trivial. But our relationship with Prabhupada, Guru, Krishna, that is very substantial. For holding on to the substantial thing, we can tolerate the small, small pinpricks around us. Go ahead. What then should devotees do to clear their offenses?
The holy name being non-different from the Lord is independent. No one can force the Lord to bestow His grace. But a sincere devotee can please the holy name and invoke His mercy. Devotees who have committed offenses must cease their misbehavior and with faith in the Lord's benevolence, take shelter of devotional service in the company of Vaishnavas. The only remedial measure is to chant with the Lord's pure devotees. Offenders must accept whatever punishment the holy name deems suitable and patiently wait to be reinstated in the Lord's good graces.
So many things are said here. First of all, it is mentioned that we have to rectify our wrong behavior. One should not aggravate. For example, somebody has a pitta body. He is told not to eat very spicy foods. But then again and again he is eating spicy foods. Somebody was having preliminary symptom of this piles. But then doctor told him not to eat spicy food. But he couldn't give up spicy food. He is getting ulcers in the mouth and piles in the backside. Even after doctor tells, whenever he sees the food, he is not able to say no to it, stop it. So then he is aggravating the problem. Then the piles become very big. Then when the operation had to be given, this devotee was crying like anything. This devotee said, I don't know, this operation, it seems I will die by the operation. Of course, he didn't die, he lived. It was so painful it is. So, we have to give up the misbehavior first. In the same manner, while dealing with devotees, Hari Guru Vaishnavas while dealing, if I have committed a mistake, at least we should wake up. We should rub our eyes and get up and then become more cautious, more alert, more careful. That is one thing that is said. Another thing that is said is, we should take shelter of devotion service in the company of devotees. We should take shelter very, very deeply and chant with the devotees and go on with devotion service. And also one should be willing to accept punishment. Like Parikshit Maharaj said, let some Brahma Shap come upon me, I am ready to be punished. He didn't run away from punishment. He was ready to accept punishment also. So willingness to accept punishment, whatever is due for a person for offending. And also he says that one should maintain hope after hope and one has to be patient that one day the holy name will be merciful to me. I will be able to call out the holy name joyfully, blissfully and I am ready to persist and continue. One should not be too eager to be relieved from the situation immediately, but one has to be patient. One example I'll tell you. If somebody has committed a mistake, for example, say, one example I am telling you. Say there is a meeting of many leaders. In that meeting, say somebody spoke improperly to some another devotee, offended him in a public way, and the devotee got very badly offended, and all the devotees felt that this person should not do some particular service that he is doing. He is leading some particular committee. So the devotees told Prabhuji, 6 months to 1 year, you don't lead this committee. Because many devotees are very unhappy about this. So then one should be ready to get down and hand it over to somebody. But if somebody says, Prabhuji, I agree that I will not offend this devotee from tomorrow, say, can I continue this service? There are people who ask like that. Similarly, we have experience in the student centers also. Somebody, misused the computer, misused the internet, and we tell him that, now this year you cannot do your service as a leader. You are a OC or IAM, internal manager or a overall coordinator or a project manager. You cannot do it. 1 year you have to be detained because you have misused. So some people are even afraid to reveal also. They feel, and if it is found, you tell them, then they feel they're morose and their face becomes small that my service is taken away. Service is not taken away. You can do menial service. Who says you cannot do menial service? But the point is the respect that comes from holding a post, they are very uneasy to give away that. So therefore, here is the point. When I am committing offenses, if you are told that one should accept the punishment, then one should be willing to accept the punishment. And also one should be patient. One should not ask, sometimes we tell the candidates to wait for initiation. You can be sent next year. Some people come after 3 months and say, Prabhuji, can you send me to Juhu? Or can you send me to Vrindavan? Or can you send me to Mayapur for initiation? Or can you send me to another place? I say, but I told you to wait for some time. How much time I told you? And the managers may forget sometimes. And then he may say, Prabhuji, you just told to wait. You didn't say period. No, I told you 1 year period. Now you want in 3 months only. Be patient. Because you have to rectify, you have to read Prabhupada books. You first qualify yourself. First deserve and then desire. But people generally what they do? First they desire before deserving. This is the world we are living in. What to do? People want to be quickly rectified immediately without taking the due time and patience. People are not ready to do homework. They only want exam results. They want distinction without doing homework. You see? That's what he's saying. You have to be patient. And you have to be waiting to be reinstated by Lord's good graces. Similarly, if somebody did one blunder, for example, later on that devotee will come and ask, Prabhu, what is your opinion about me? I said, you did blunder only 1 week ago. How will my opinion about you be completely changed? If you want me to change my opinion about you, what you have to do? Yeah, you have to show good behavior for a period of 3 months, 6 months, 1 year. And then repeated good behavior will change the perceptions of people around. Correct, no? So therefore, one should not be too eager to get the results, without doing the homework. That is the point. So, and one should know a holy name, has the freedom. He is Lord Himself. We have to know that a holy name is divine and whenever Lord is pleased with us, and He can see with the X-ray vision, we are like naked children in front of the Lord. So whenever He is pleased, He will accept us. And His not accepting us is actually an indication that I have not yet done my homework and I should be patient, I should do it. Okay, go ahead. Devotees?
Devotees are like servants of a wealthy king. When a king's servants offend him, the king may neglect them for some time in order to reform them. This is the king's mercy. The neglected
servant, for example, Chota Haridas was neglected by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or banished. That doesn't mean he is no more associate of Mahaprabhu. In fact, he sang, he became a Gandharva and he sang. And Mahaprabhu heard that also. But he banished him from the association of devotees for that lifetime. And then he finished his body and all that. But he continued to be associate of Mahaprabhu. So in this way, Mahaprabhu is like a king. He is like a master. And we are at, similarly, a spiritual master is a master. We are at their mercy. So in case the king feels that when a king's servants offend the king, then the king may neglect them for some time. For example, Kala Krishnadas was neglected by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Similarly, Vallabha Bhattacharya was also neglected by all the Vaishnavas because of his pride in having written a commentary better than Sridhara Swami. And Mahaprabhu also chastised him. So he felt very neglected, like a duck among swans and all that. It's mentioned like that. So, but then it doesn't mean that once a person is neglected, he's gone forever. It's not like that. He can always come. He'll be reinstated again. Go ahead.
The neglected servants then fall into poverty with all its distresses. While suffering the lot of paupers, errant servants recall their happy past as the king's wards and finally in a mood of humility again surrender to their master. When the king sees his servant's sincerity, he regains his confidence in them and reinstates them with the same privileges they had previously enjoyed. At this point, all offenses are forgiven.
Yeah, like Prabhupada once chastised Satyabhadas Maharaj for, sending a letter without the carbon copy, although it was written in the letter, carbon copy is attached. And Gurudas Prabhu wrote Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you said you are attaching carbon copy, but you didn't attach. And Prabhupada said, you are writing a letter in my name, and then not attaching carbon copy means it makes me look foolish. So Sajjapada Maharaj cried and he took a kerchief and rubbed his eyes. But Prabhupada didn't seem to become cooled down. He was continuing to be angry. And then Sajjapada Maharaj understood. He told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, the mistake was not yours. Mistake is mine. So I will write to Gurudas that it was me who committed the mistake of sending this. And also, I will send him the carbon copy also. Prabhupada said, yes, do it. That's what you should do. That means rectify the situation. Once you rectified, Prabhupada never quoted it for the second time after that. You have to rectify the situation. Like in those days, when EBG was a book, you know, hardbound copy, this size book. So one devotee was in charge of sending the books. So he sent the EBG book to somebody, and that book had a few pages upside down printed. You know, printed and bound like this inside. And most half the book was like that. And the cover was also cracking. So what this devotee did, he wrote a letter and below that put signature very similar to me. Like the way I put, no? Radhesham Das. He put my name and he sent. So this devotee was thinking, who sent him? I only sent him. Then he wrote back, Rajampu, I always have heard you are very alert and careful about things. Somehow or other, this you have overlooked. The binding is coming out and book pages are upside down. Then I called the devotee and asked, hey, how is he thinking? I have sent him. When did you send all that? I asked him. Then he showed me a copy of the letter and underneath I saw it was my name and he has signed like me. I said, really? This is forgery. Yeah. I told him, you have done forgery of my signature. Then he said, Prabhuji, you are using a big word, forgery. I am not taking any money or anything. I am just signing your name for a letter. Then I said, you should never put another person's signature. Without asking that person, how can you put? And then I scolded him for this. Then I told him to write a letter that I put his signature, Prabhuji's signature, I am not supposed to put. Then he wrote another letter and sent a fresh new copy he sent him. So, sometimes one doesn't know the gravity of the mistake also. Then one may feel, when a man is doing blunder, when you correct him, he feels offended. Then what you should do? You should go to other people and ask, Prabhuji, what is so bad about him? I just put his signature. Is it a mistake? Then others may also say, Prabhu, you cannot copy somebody's signature. But I know how he puts, Prabhuji puts. I have seen him how he puts, so I just copied it. So what should devotee do to clear offenses? Yeah.
Although this may leave devotee feeling devastated.
No. This is on. Actually, you finished it?
Okay, yeah, this is done.
It's done, yeah.
The holy name neglects and then forgives offenders in the same way. By his neglect, offenders become spiritually impotent. Their joy in Krishna consciousness vanishes and they feel orphaned even while living in the midst of the Lord's family of devotees.
This is the main point. How does one know that I have offended? He feels dryness in the heart. He feels moroseness. He does not feel joy in chanting, in reading, in hearing, and associating, and in taking darshan of the deities. He is not peaceful. Actually, Krishna Bhakta, Nishkama, Atyeva Shanta. But if you are not Nishkama and Shanta, then our hankerings will start increasing. Then the material hankerings will take us out of association and go in the headlong in the material world searching after some Maya's, gifts instead of accepting Krishna's gifts. In the temple we get so many Krishna's gifts, but we may get carried away. Go ahead.
Although this may leave devotees feeling devastated, those who faithfully continue their devotional practices and take full responsibility for their misfortune, blaming no one else, gradually improve.
Atmakritam vipakam. That was his tattenukampam sasamikshamano bunjana evatmakritam vipakam. Similarly, he says, Kritvatmasat surarishina bhagavan grihita soham katamna visruje tavabritya seva. Kritvatmasat. No. This one, there is another verse. Not that verse. I'll tell you. Prahlad Maharaj also says, he takes responsibility for his own. Trastosmyaham krapana vatsala dussahogra samsara chakra kadana adgrasatam pranita baddha svakarma virushattama tengri mulam svakarma vir. He's saying, baddha. Narasimhadeva is asking, you are saying that you have fallen into this ocean of samsara. Did I throw you? Prahlad says, no. He's saying, baddha svakarma virushattama tengri mulam. By my own karma I have fallen, my lord. Like that he says. Prito pavar gasharanam phayase kadanu. Adhira is praying. Go ahead.
The holy name, pleased by their sincere repentance, empowers them to chant properly once more. The nullification of their bad habits then again follows the standard sequence.
That means what happens exactly? Like we are going ahead, committed some offenses, we take a detour. That means the progress is stopped. We are actually not growing anymore. We are looking here, looking there. We are practically stagnated in the progress in spiritual life. And then after all these offenses are rectified, you come back to the same route. And then you go ahead again, continue progressing. That means we lose some time, for some period of time, because we were going like this, and then we committed offenses, and we get, these offenses actually will make our spiritual life dull, and the progress will be minimized. It's like the car speed is slowed down. But if the offenses are terrible, then the car stops only, completely. Like that. Yes, remember the results of offenses and not commit the same again. Yes.
Srila Prabhupada writes, one who accepts punishment as a reward dealt by the master become intelligent enough not to commit the same mistake again.
Actually this is the real intelligence. The punishment is considered as a reward by the devotee. Why? I will tell you the reason. Because the devotee thinks that my master has not rejected me. Like Mukunda said, I will see. He said, no, when Mahaprabhu said, after 10 million births, only I will see him. Why he was so jubilant? Really, Mahaprabhu didn't reject me completely. Instead, Mahaprabhu said, he will see me after 10 million births. He said, what is 10 million births? That will pass like a moment. I don't mind suffering 10 million births. But at least he has agreed to see me again. So that means a servant accepts the master's punishment as a reward given by the master, and is willing to go through that. He accepts it. He knows it's for my purification. Then the master, what he will do? He will reduce the punishment. He will say that, he is accepting with such a grateful attitude. Then he will think that there is no need for big punishment for this person. Then he reduces the term. Go ahead.
The results of offenses. The above account should alarm even the most cautious devotees. The destructive effects of offenses on the devotional people are frightening. Consider Gopala Chakravarti, the handsome Brahmana who became a leper because of the malicious comment he made to Haridas Thakur. Gopal lost his beauty, wealth and position. Disgraced and banished from the Vaishnava association, he finally died a painful death.
So his nose melted and fell away. And he lost his beauty because of that. Then he lost his wealth. And Govardhan Majumdar, Rene Majumdar told him, get lost. We don't want you in the job anymore here. He was actually leading a very major service in Majumdar's family. Very important person. But because he offended Haridas Thakur in a public sabha, the Majumdar family became offended, who were organizers of the program. They threw him out. So he lost his wealth also and the position also. And he lost his beauty also. And also all Vaishnavas came to know he is the offender who offended Haridas Thakur. So they all kept a distance from him. In this way he died a very painful death. It is mentioned. You will see that Ramachandra Puri also left the Vaishnavas and went away. Gopal Chakravarti also, he also went away. So these fellows' offenses became so ripe that he lost the Sangha of association of Vaishnavas. Why sometimes devotion activities and things in relationship with devotion appear mundane?
Srila Rupa Goswami stresses the spiritual debilitating effects of offenses by citing the following words.
Kete parada viprendra namno bhagavata krataha many granthinam krityam prakritam anayantihi.
O foremost of brahmanas, what are the offenses against the name of the Lord that destroy the results of one's devotional service and even lead to material conceptions of transcendental topics?
What is the meaning of this question that is being asked here in Padma Purana? Why the deities appear mundane? They don't appear divine. Why the holy name is tasteless? Why even after drinking Charanamrit, smelling the flower offered to Lord, circumambulating, my material desires are still not going away? why my heart is filled with lust and anger and greed? Why are they not going away? Why the devotees don't look divine? Why everybody, you know, all the spiritual shastras are not giving any taste anymore? You know, when I read the shastra, it appears I already know it. There is nothing new here. No realizations from shastra. It appears boring. So that's what he is asking. Why the spiritual things? Archya Vishnu, Shiladir, Gurush, Naramate, Vaishnava, Jati Buddhi, Vishnurva, Vaishnavanam, Kalimala Matane, Padatyaktembu Buddhi, Sri Vishnu Namni Sakala Kalushke, Shabde, Samanya Buddhi. These are the things which happens. Why is it happening? He is asking. Read it. Vishwanath Thakur.
Vishwanath Chakuti Thakur elaborates on this verse. Although hearing and chanting should bestow prema, although visiting holy places should bestow pure devotion, and although honoring the Lord's remnants, prasad, should bestow freedom from material desire, offenses against the holy name neutralizes these blessed results.
Yeah, because of this offenses, our attitude towards all the holy objects becomes very mundane, and we see prasadam like food. Oh, this is very delicious for my tongue, like that we see. And we drink Charanamrita in multiple glasses, a dozen glasses, six glasses. So we don't see it as mercy. So that kind of type of mentality comes in eating. And also one looks at the deity with the enjoying mentality, which means one's attitude of submission and prayerfulness is gone. So in this way, Chakravarti Thakur says, yeah, go ahead, furthermore.
If the offense is grievous, devotional activities and things in relationship with devotion will appear to the offender as mundane. If the offense is heinous, it will cause the offender to become inimical to Guru, to devotional service and to the Lord Himself.
Many examples could be given. Like our Ramachandra Puri became offensive to Guru, then he became offensive to Lord Chaitanya Himself. And he left the company of Vaishnavas and went away. That is one example now we can give. Similarly, you can give example of Dvivida Gorilla. He was an associate of Lord Rama. Offending Lakshman, he left the company of Ram and became a very mischievous gorilla. Later on, he was offending the gopis also. And Balram killed them. You can see that. So these are examples. Similarly, you can see that when the offense grows grievous, the devotional activities and anything relation to devotion will appear mundane. Then what happens? A devotee becomes very materially calculative in spiritual life. Materially calculative means, you know, why are they not giving me this post? And why are they not giving me the due honor? Somebody feels insecure in devotional service. You know, what will happen if I become 70 or 80? Who will take care of me? These kind of questions. Therefore, at one point of time, when we were having a talk in the previous years, about the insecurity, what will happen to devotees after 50, after 60. This very insecurity is a bad sign. Like that he said, His Holiness Bhakti Vaishnava Ashray Maharaj. Maharaj was telling that one who is a sadhu or one is a devotee, you should never worry too much about the future. One has to do the needful. You make some arrangement, but in this world, you can't make a perfect arrangement in whichever ashram you are. Grihasthas have some responsibility, brahmacharis have responsibility. Those who are upholding the leadership in organizations, they also have a responsibility. But after doing that, there can always be, you know, difficult situations. One should not think that let us take the whole control in our hand. Therefore, you find many temples, which were conducted by the divine force, by Hladini potency. When that divinity is lost, then the temple becomes a club where people just come together for mutual community support. People come like that. It is. And similarly, the supernatural activities or the magics that happened in the temple, you know, they no more happen. Because then people, it becomes more like a mundane place. Churches also became like that. Churches, temples, they become like mundane places. Because actually, when we pray and take shelter of Krishna, the prayer is the difference between what I can do and what God can do. It is said. Now, by prayer, you will see, instead of me working on behalf of Krishna, Krishna will work on all of our behalf. He'll be in the front. Just like in the war of battlefield, Arjuna was working on behalf of Krishna, guided by Krishna. But there are occasions when Krishna took over. Himself, he took the wheel of the chariot and ran towards Bhishma. And Krishna blocked the sun and saved Arjuna's life. You can see that. So because of Arjuna's prayerful attitude, Krishna protected him in ways without which Arjuna would have never been able to protect himself. Correct, no? So therefore, when we become prayerful, our dependence on Krishna is increased. And we don't have any insecurity. A person says, tomorrow we are not going to die without food. We are not going to die in the street. And Krishna is there. Krishna will take care. Even great magic and miracles can happen when one connects with Lord in prayer. But otherwise, if one is committing offenses, one comes from higher abode to the ground level. In ground level, one wants to take complete control of material situation. And instead of depending on the Lord, they want to control the material situation themselves. One example I'll tell you. Say we say that let us make 20 crore or 50 crore rupees of corpus. Why? And just put it in the bank and then we can just depend on it. And then your food, clothing, shelter is taken care. And this is an example of material dependence. Spiritual dependence means what Prabhupada said? Earn a lot of money and spend a lot of money. Again, earn more, spend more, he said. But Prabhupada, what about tomorrow? Tomorrow don't bother. That is called a movement. Then there is a movement. Then things will be moving. Otherwise, if you have a big money in the bank, you just eat and sleep. That will be a stagnant. It won't be a movement. Example of one who became antagonistic to Lord Vishnu and devotees by Guru Ninda. I told you about Ramachandrapuri. And the same points are mentioned. This offense of offending the Guru, and he told Guru to meditate on impersonal Brahman. And then his meager devotion was, he was deprived of his even already meager devotion, he says. And he transformed into a Mayavadi. He became antagonistic to Lord Vishnu. Whenever he used to Jagannath Puri, he had a habit to criticize Lord Chaitanya also, his standard of sannyas. Ultimately, he was banished from the company of devotees. He could not be. This is an example of Hati Mata Aparada. I have shown an elephant also there. What can save devotees who fall into the misfortune of committing offenses?
Faith is the redeeming quality of sincere devotees. Despite the holy name's neglect and punishment, devotees who maintain faith in Krishna, devotional service, and the holy name do not fall from the path. How can devotees protect their faith from the ravages of offenses? Only the cloudburst of pure Vaishnava association can protect devotees' faith from the forest fire of reactions and offenses. There is no other means.
So after having committed some offenses, the effects of the offenses will come in various forms. They may come as diseases, they may come as dryness, they may come as boredom in the path of devotional life. They may come as material outlook to all spiritual items. They may come as insecurities in material life. They may come as quarrel mongering, or belligerent attitude of quarreling with others. So these are all effects of previous aparada. That means on one hand we have to tackle those effects, tolerate them, and continue to stay in the association and take pure association of Vaishnavas, and then go on tolerating the offenses. And then if one does it, when this reserve builds up by a pure association and making endeavor to chant, tolerating the effects of the previous offenses, the faith will gradually build up. Like for example, if somebody has a terrible indigestion, they go for panchakarma. At that time, they are not able to put any food in the belly. But doctor tells them to eat ghee. But ghee also you cannot take, because ghee is very heavy, how will you digest? But doctor still tells you, keep taking ghee. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur gives this example. He says, when you put ghee, it goes inside, gubuk, like that you vomit. But some amount of ghee will stick on. Again, next day you take ghee, again you vomit. It sticks on. So little by little, that little quantity, what happens to it? It increases, little by little, more and more and more. And gradually the digestion is revived over a period of time. That's how they do in Panchakarma, they do it. In the same manner, earlier we discussed, somebody due to offensive mentality wants to go away from association of devotees. He can't associate with devotees. He goes away. But if he goes away, he falls down due to maya there. And if he is in the company of devotees, he falls down by committing offenses. So what is the solution? The solution is, you should stay in the company of devotees and stop the offending habit. And instead learn to shut his mouth and mind his own business and do his spiritual life peacefully. And take association of pure Vaishnavas. And then tolerate the reactions to the previously committed offenses. He has to tolerate them and go on. Then he can escape. Yeah. Why do sincere and faithful devotees who try to atone for their offenses find the spiritual practices they found once very easy, now very difficult? Now, many of us will have experience. At one time our chanting was very good. But again, now chanting is becoming difficult. Some people find like that. One time the kirtans were ecstatic and one was dancing. Now one has no such ecstasy. At one time reading the Bhagavatam was very nectarian. Now one has stopped the habit of reading. Why it happens? Yeah.
And why do acts of devotion performed with such difficulty bestow so little spiritual strength? Offenders whom the holy name neglects almost lose their taste for devotional service. Consequently, it becomes difficult for them to practice it. It follows that neglected devotees do not enjoy full reciprocation from their practice of the limbs of devotion. They are actually deprived of the full potency of their practices. For these reasons, Vaishnavas who have committed offenses get neither taste nor strength from their devotional activities.
Yeah, here it is important to mention there are two types of happiness or pleasure you can get even in spiritual life. One is material component, one is spiritual component. The material component comes out as material joy and material determination when you get some fruitive results in our life, even as a devotee. For example, somebody is recognized as a leader, somebody is recognized for his results.
Like Ramachandra Puri, they criticize devotees for the smallest fault and in the process uproot their own devotional creeper. They take shelter of concocted offensive philosophies and become thorns in the side of true Vaishnavas. In short, the offenses of devotees who refuse to repent and subdue their offensive tendencies go to seed and sow the countless more seeds of ever more virulent offenses. These seeds fructify first as offenses to their peers, then to their gurus and other seniors, and finally to the Supreme Lord Himself. Thus, wherever offenders roam, they remain residents of hell. This is from a verse in
Narakisa. Yeah, very dangerous, no? Can offenders be saved? Somebody may ask, okay, now we understand what happens to them. Can they be saved?
In summary, devotees unfortunate enough to commit offenses against pure Vaishnavas or the holy name quickly lose the joyful taste of devotional service because the holy name neglects them. As a result, devotees' unwanted habits fructify into the bitter fruits of desire for wealth, woman and fame. Those offenders too arrogant to take shelter of Vaishnavas are blinded by material desires and fall into the ditch of chronic antagonism against the Lord and His servants. They soon perish and disappear from the society of devotees. Example, Ramachandra Puri. But those offenders who humble themselves are saved. They tolerate the pain resulting from their offenses and faithfully chant in the company of pure devotees. They are redeemed only because the holy name, seeing their sincerity, gradually shows His mercy and reinvests their chanting with devotional potency. Bit by bit, these devotees again taste bliss. Gradually, their unwanted desires are removed and little by little, ignorance and passion evaporate. Finally, once again, the path to prema shines clear.
Like our Gopal Chapal became Devakinandan Das by seeking forgiveness from Shrivas. Vrindavana vasiyata vaishnavera gan tatame vandana kori savara charan Nilachala vasiyata mahaprabhura gan mumite podiya vandon savara charan. Like that, he sang that song and he became Devakinandan Das. So that means the difference between the para 1, para 2 is humility. If one is willing to become humble and continue to be in the association of Vaishnavas, then they have hope. Otherwise, they get lost. Yeah. Offense alone bar devotees from ecstasy of chanting.
Even though thoughtless devotees no longer taste the potency of the holy name, some of them foolishly argue that they have never made offenses.
Due to their false ego. They say, I never made offenses. Yeah, they may say like that, yeah.
But the Bhagavatam concludes that offenses alone bar devotees from the ecstasy of chanting. Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd canto, 3rd chapter, 24th verse. If devotees' hearts do not melt while they vibrate the holy name, if there are no tears in their eyes, if their bodily hair does not stand on end, then either they are unconsciously committing offenses or they have committed serious offenses in previous lives. Srila Prabhupada's way of testing the truth of such statements was Phalena Parichayate. Judge a thing by its result.
And then an example is given. When asked whether the fall down of devotees meant that they did not want to love Krishna, His Divine Grace gave a resounding yes. Prabhupada says, these guys don't want to love Krishna, therefore they are offending. Says, all living entities have free will. If they remain in Lord's service, it is because they want to love Him. And if they leave His service, it is because they no longer want to love Him, He says. Similarly, offenseless chanting means devotees will experience ecstasy. If there is no ecstasy while chanting, then the devotees may assume that their chanting is offensive. Like we say, you know, Gauranga Balite Habe Pulaka Sharir. When one chants Gauranga's name, hair should stand on end. And then Hari Hari Bolite Nayane Babenir. Tears. So these are the two tests. If hair is not standing on end, tears are not coming in eyes when you say Gauranga and Hari, then we can know that we have committed offenses, yeah. Why argue that despite one's offenseless chanting, one is not feeling ecstasy? We must judge a thing by its result. Yes. And Lord's associates never suffer from reactions to offenses. This is another point. We should never think that, oh, that devotee is suffering reactions to his previous offenses. Like for example, the Pandavas, you know, they were thrown out of their kingdom, their wife was insulted, probably they committed offenses. One should not think like that. Because those are all orchestrations of the Lord in the life of devotees. Like that he is saying. What to speak of Lord's eternal associates, even devotees at the stage of steady practice, Nishtha Bhakti, are freed from the reactions to Prarabdha Karma. If they appear to be suffering, that is because Krishna has personally arranged the sickness, poverty, conflict in their lives as a part of His pastime in order to bring them closer to Him. Okay, I will tell you one very simple clue. When a devotee is suffering from either sickness or, like he is saying, this thing, poverty or conflict, the only parameter to assess is, how is his mood? Is it like Bharat Maharaj? He is repentant, he is remorseful, he is going to the association of devotees, in Pulahashrama, you know, he is keeping away from family and everything, and other deers and all, and he is also eating dry grass. So he appears to have fallen down, but his Krishna consciousness has not gone. That is a test. Similarly, Pandavas, while going to forest, did their bhakti for Krishna reduce? No, that is a test. And then, yasya aham anugrihanami, somebody may say, hey, you were such a good devotee, why Krishna took away everything? I think he committed some offenses, Krishna took away. No, it's not like that. Prabhupada himself said, Krishna took away everything from me to give me sannyas and send me to west. Why? Because he thought, what is my pure devotee doing in a pharmaceutical shop? mixing some chemicals. Throw this and go to west and preach. Like that Prabhupada said, Krishna wanted him to go to west. So Krishna took away his material business to send him to America to preach. Why advanced Vaishnavas do not manifest symptoms of ecstasy? He says the devotees who do not see symptoms of ecstasy in all advanced Vaishnavas ask this question. But just as fruit-bearing trees display fruit in the proper season, loving devotion bestows prema on devotees at the proper time in the spiritual journey. Even though pleased with an offenseless person, the holy name reveals His mercy by His own sweet will, in His own sweet time. The heart that is freed from the burden of bad habits surely receives love of God when it is bestowed. The waiting only serves to make the day more delightful. Just like the Narada boy, you know, when he was told by Lord Vishnu that, you know, avipakpa kashayanam durdarshoham kuyoginam. He said, hanta asmin janmani bhavan mamam drakshumiharkasi. Avipakpa kashayanam durdarshoham kuyoginam. Those people, those people who have not completed their services and those whose hearts are not completely pure, they can't see me again. For them to see me, they have to do these two things. So in the middle, the boy thought, that means I am not yet fully pure. What Chakravarti Thakur says, the boy was fully pure. Then why Krishna said that? He gives explanation. Without his being fully pure, Vishnu would have never come in the first place in front of him. He came. But why Vishnu said like that? The boy's prema was komala shraddha, komal prema. It was an infant prema. Lord wanted him to have adult prema. Therefore, Lord wanted to give some time for it. So he gave darshan and went away to increase the separation in his heart. And by the separation, he will strengthen the prema and make the infant prema into adult prema. Like an infant child becomes an adult, how? By eating food. Similarly, by feelings of separation, you can take more and more feeling of separation, come to adult prema. From infant prema to adult prema. That was the Lord's plan. So in this way, the waiting only serves to make the day more delightful, because the more he feels separation, he feels presence of the Lord. Like that. And the reason for studying anarthas in detail, some people ask, you know, Prabhupada says we make automatic advancement when you come to Bhakti Yoga. Why to study about these anarthas? Actually, he says here, when a devotee revives his loving service to the Supreme Lord, it should be understood that he has been successful in achieving the desired goal of his life. At that time, everything is automatically done by the mercy of the Holy Name, like the Prabhupada says. And then he says in the next para, to think that the term automatic advancement means that devotees need do nothing but mechanically follow the routines of devotion service to achieve the perfection is to ignore the teachings of Shastra, Guru and Sadhu. Devotees who have been deluded like this ask, why should we know about anarthas, offenses and states of devotion? Simply by chanting Hare Krishna, we will automatically become lovers of Krishna. No, sir. Otherwise, Vaidhi Bhakti without the longing to attain Krishna will not produce Raganuga Bhakti. Vaidhi Bhakti plus a longing to attain Krishna is necessary. Mami Chaptum Dhananjaya, Krishna says. Along with Abhyasa Yoga, we should have Mami Chaptum. That means we should do the daily routine that is only mechanical. But along with that mechanical routine of Vaidhi Bhakti, we should develop a longing in the heart, that spark of fire which will grow into a flagrant fire as we grow in Bhakti Yoga. So therefore, one shouldn't think the spiritual life is automatic. Many people ask, Prabhupada said 16 rounds, 4 regs, back to Godhead? People ask, okay, but for you to maintain the 16 rounds, 4 regs all your life, you have to have some longing. Otherwise, after some time, you will give it up. So it's not a mechanical procedure. Bhakti Yoga is not a it's a mechanical procedure plus a longing is necessary. Who will automatically make step-by-step progress? He's saying here. It is true that practicing and devotees advance automatically, but only if they carefully follow the right process. We cannot make advancement by following the wrong process. Kintu adarat anudinam kaluseva jushta swadvikramat bhavati tadgata mulahantri. Daily with very great attention and care we should perform all the 64 activities, even by Rupa Goswami. To distinguish between the right and wrong path, devotees must know the do's and don'ts. And also, devotees who neglect the science of devotion and who chant without trying to avoid offenses cannot advance. Because if we commit offenses in chanting, we will degrade by that. Then how will they become lovers of Krishna? Vaishnavas must carefully study the bhakti scriptures which provide the roadmap to perfection. They must know the right path, the detours and the pitfalls in the journey. If they do, then no doubt they will automatically make step-by-step progress. That means, perform all the routines with a conscious awareness. And also know the pitfalls. Let it not be like a guerrilla warfare for you. You know the pitfalls and know the right path and detours and know the dangers of aparadha, so we can avoid aparadhas. Know what are the sins to avoid. So in this way, carefully one should advance. An all-embracing guideline of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Trinadapi shuni chena tarorapi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtani yasadahari. So Mahaprabhu said, urdhva bahukari. He raised both his hands, he declared to the world, string this verse on the thread of the holy name and wear it in your neck for continuous remembrance, he said. That means the thread is the holy name, like the Kantimala thread, and then this manis are four things: humility, tolerance, respecting all, and not anticipating respect. So you wear this always, never forget this verse, he said. This is the guidance of Lord Chaitanya. And the concluding words, please read this Prabhu, last slide. Yeah.
If devotees carefully avoid offenses, they inevitably come to the milestone in their spiritual development. at which unsteadiness transforms into steadiness. At the stage of nishtha, the emphasis in cultivating Krishna consciousness is no longer on avoiding things unfavorable to devotion and protecting oneself from maya.
That means by the time you come to nishtha, then you don't have to worry about that first two verses, Vachavegam verse and then Atyahara Prayasasya Prajalpo. Those things are gone completely in the stage of nishtha. And beyond nishtha, you have to worry about Utsaha, Nishtaya, Daryat. That third verse. Yeah. And fourth verse also, Dadati Pati Grihanadi Guhyamakyadi Puchati. And then Krishnaiti Asya Giritam, all those verses. Yeah.
The emphasis shifts to looking for things favorable for loving Krishna. Then the nectar of pure devotion really begins to flow.
Hari Bol. So let the nectar flow. Huh? So let us welcome Sri Krishna into our hearts by chanting the holy names offenselessly. Hari Bol. So this is a three-part series only. What is the title? Removing Unwanted Habits. Part 1, 2 and 3, I completed it. Now coming Wednesday, on first I am going to Kunjibari temple. Probably I'll stay for a couple of months there. I think our Yugalashampu was suggesting you put up one more seminar like this, another one. So I'll make a plan. Shilpa Parki, your Bhakta Vrinda ki. Thank you very much.